Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9 to 5 for a 5 to 9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
History That Doesn't Suck is a legit, seriously researched, hard-hitting history podcast told through entertaining stories. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
He's got it going today, though, but let's see what Keegan can do.
Final 8 feet up on top of the hill.
What in the name of J.J. Spawn is happening here? <laughs> 64 feet, slam dunk.
Keegan Bradley, he was a couple strokes back, and Tommy Fleetwood cracked. He put +2 on the final three holes. The old bogey birdie on the 18th, where
big swing.
Fleetwood's up one going to 18, and he leaves his approach way short. And then his putt is short and right on line with Bradley.
Yeah.
So he tries to make a putt. Like, I make this putt, I can get a playoff at worst. He misses, and then Bradley makes this to win the tournament. I mean, it was, what a swing. Rough one. Rough one for Fleetwood, who, you know, the whole time they just kept saying, like, boys, never won a PGA Tour event. Never won a PGA Tour event.
Yeah.
Most top tens without ever winning a PGA Tour event. And then afterwards, let me tell you, Josh, you have that clip from Fleetwood I sent you? His mindset afterwards, you know, like, it's funny how you appreciate a player in whatever sport it might be. Good morning, Jeremy and Joe, by the way. Maybe you like someone that gets mad. Maybe you like someone that has a positive mindset, you know.
Mm-hmm.
You might just be different based on how you approach it. You know, leadership's in the eye of the beholder and how you cope with it. Maybe you coach kids and you want them to absorb what Tommy Fleetwood said yesterday after losing, which was basically, as he choked it away on the final three holes, that he doesn't think he'll take any negatives out of this. It's only about positives. I played really well. I'd never been in this position before. I was in it, and I'm not going to let what happened at the end make me think about it negatively. I mean, you might find this like weak, or you might find this to be inspiring.
You know, I'm upset now. I'm gutted. I'm angry. When it calms down, look at the things that I did well, look at the things that I can learn from. I said yesterday, I haven't been in this position all year, so it's been a while. I felt like I did a lot of good things, but there was things that I, you know, definitely can do better and I have to do better. So, you know, the most stupid thing to do and the worst thing to do would be make a week like this a hindrance to what you do going forwards. I obviously played great. I put myself in a great position. I was leading the tournament of 71 holes. I just want to, you know, make sure that I can put myself in this position as soon as possible again. And try and correct what I did this time. But like I say, you know, right now I would love to, you know, just go and sulk somewhere, and maybe I will do. But there's just no point making it a negative for the future, really, and take the positives and move on.
No point in focusing on the negative. I walked off the golf course on Saturday upset that I missed like 10 putts inside of 5 feet. I got to get Tommy Fleetwood's approach. Like, you know, I put myself in great positions. I was in really great position to make those putts. I didn't, but I was in great positions. So anyway, there you go. He's looking at the bright side of things.
He's a guy that's never won, though, before.
Not on the PGA Tour. He's won elsewhere.
He's won on the European Tour. He's won in Asia, right?
He's won events, so he's not won on the PGA Tour.
Yeah.
A lot of top tens.
Yeah. I don't know. I don't know what the right way to approach that is, because we do kind of envy killers in sports, right? Like guys at the end that
closers.
Are just like, yeah, the closers, the intense guys that kind of live and die in that moment. So to hear someone, you are hearing more and more of that though, aren't you? Like a guy wouldn't have, maybe in golf they would have, but a guy in sports wouldn't have talked that way 15 years ago, even if he felt that way.
Yeah, there might be because some sports psychology to it.
It might have been viewed as like weak.
Yeah, for sure.
Wouldn't want that out there.
There are people that will view that as, you know, how does it not drive you for the future? And for him to say,
right,
there's nothing to gain by focusing on the negative.
Right, right. You know, he's right in saying
he's probably right.
Yeah. It just, and for him, it's not like it's also a he has a reputation for being the best player in the tour that hasn't won,
mm-hmm.
but he's not someone that I ever think of like choking them away, right?
Yeah, that one he did.
No, that one he did.
If this were a major,
if this were like the sixth time he'd done it, then maybe I'd be like, you gotta have it. You might want a different approach here. Yeah. But he's not doing this all the time, from what I've seen.
803-0550 Fleetwood falls apart late, and Keegan Bradley wins it. So good for him.
Because is Keegan Bradley in a difficult position here? Because he's the Ryder Cup captain, and he might have a case to be on the team. But do you look like a jerk if you put yourself on the team? Like, I'm naming myself. I'm one of the best American golfers in the world. I'm playing.
I don't know.
Because I would feel very hesitant to do that if I were the captain of a team and I picked myself over someone else like that's close.
I very much look forward to a full 2 to 3 months of...
Will he pick himself?
Not just that, but how American golf analysis is over and over just smashing the U.S. team for not being a real team and saying the European team is a real team. It happens every year. Every other year, I should say. That's the Ryder Cup. Mm-hmm. Look at them. They're a real team. Our team's not a real team.
In what way? Like the U.S. team's like an all-star team?
Whatever. It's always how, whether it's camaraderie or if it's supporting each other, just they play like a team when we don't.
I see.
Every single Ryder Cup. That's how it goes. Ron and Alden. Hey, Ron, good morning.
Good morning. I just heard in your update about Frank Cervelli said something about he believes Paterka will be traded before Friday. We know how rumors are.
He said, I think we see a J.J. Paterka trade materialize between now and the NHL draft,
which is Friday.
Yep.
Okay. Oh, okay.
Yep.
What are we doing here? So we get rid of all our young players all the time, and I'm not even going back as far as Eichel or Reinhardt. We got rid of Cousins last year. We're building these players that – I love his players. Now Paterka might go, and, you know, well, we might not be able to keep Power or Dowding both of them, so, you know, or we need this player. I mean, we're trading all these guys, and we're just spinning our circle. We're going in circles, and it's just getting, like, tiring, and it's like, build something here. Or if you're going to trade these guys, make a giant trade, three of them in one big package and get something good. I mean, I don't know. It's just getting frustrated. I know it's not even July yet, and I'm just like, I'm not even looking forward to the Sabre season this year. I was so looking forward to last year when Ruff came back because I said, all right, here's a guy who can do it. But all we're doing is training everybody, and we're not getting it. Josh Norris, I don't know who he is. I mean, what are we doing here? I'm sorry to start your week off this way, but jeepers creepers, this is getting stupid now. All right, guys, have a great day.
Thanks, Ron. I think you're overselling how often they trade away young players. I think that they're marked by not trading away enough young players. And they finally traded Savoy for Ryan McLeod. And sure, they trade Cousins for it. He's 24. The guy they got is 26.
Like, yeah,
that I think you're big time overselling this idea that all they do is trade people. Because when I think of the Sabres, I think all they do is not do enough trading and not doing. Last year, they actually in the last 2 years, Mittelstadt, Savoy, Cousins, like they actually made some trades.
Mm-hmm.
Before that, it's all dump trades and get pieces in and have 3 first-round picks and not trade their picks and can they possibly trade a prospect away. Like both the Savoy trade and the Cousins trade ultimately felt like they had to happen.
Mm-hmm.
Right?
Yep.
We'd reached a timeline where you have to trade somebody out of your prospect pool, and they did. And you had to trade Cousins. Like, it is dead here. You have to do it. And they got Josh Norris, who, if he's healthy, he's great. Like, should be very good and one of their best players. He's their highest paid forward. So, if they trade Paterka and Byram, I do not think that those aren't
prospects. Those are different.
Those are NHL players, yeah. And to me, it would represent action. So, I mean, I like Paterka a lot, and I would love it if he were here. But if he wants to go and they can get appropriate value, then okay. You know, they're not looking for picks or prospects. I don't know. I feel like to say they're spinning in circles, sure.
I mean, they are.
We know that, but I'd settle for bigger circles. You know, 8th, 14th.
Well,
instead
really,
of just constantly 12th.
That's also like, okay, what are you really risking by trading Paterka? Not to say you're risking nothing. What are you risking? You're risking
losing.
He's a very good player.
Yeah.
Very good scorer, very good offensive player that you might think even has another step in him somewhere along the way. That's a good player. It's a good player you're risking losing for if you go trade him in a package that brings you back something else that's on the NHL roster. You're going to assume some risk of that. What's the Cousins trade? The Cousins trade, what was the risk in that? Was, well, Cousins maybe someday was going to figure it out, although I don't think that was ever going to happen here, and you're acquiring a player who might never be healthy for you, and is under contract till like the sun burns out. So that's your risk. I'm going to need to know what they trade Peterka for. If they trade him and don't get anything that makes an impact on the roster next year, my risk is I had a team that wasn't that good in the first place, and my risk is that I'm going to be even worse than I was. Like, I like Peterka too. Is he the catalyst for me going from 24th in the league to the playoffs? Maybe he is. Maybe there is a huge step in him somewhere, but that's not to make it sound like they could do anything and it doesn't matter because they've been bad. But I'm just not really in the mood to say anything on this team is worth freaking out about them trading away. They have been, this group specifically, go post Eichel and Reinhart, this group specifically has been letting them down for, it's like 6 years now, 5 years. Some of them are different. Peterka, it's three, right?
I might go off of the group's been letting them down and start to say the team has been letting these groups down, because that's consistently what does happen. Who did Eichel and Reinhart and that group let them down, or did they let them down? Like, the Sabres let them down.
No, the Sabres let them down.
And then this group,
I'm not as sure about that one. Right, Thompson and Dahlin, I would absolutely give that
I've not
you.
Let them down. That's right. Peterka did not last year. I mean, Cousins, sure. Guy had a bad year. They traded him away.
Yeah.
But
Spectrum Business keeps real businesses, like Rise Bakery, connected.
As a business owner, my Spectrum services help simplify my day. Everything we do is easier knowing that we've got a reliable connection. And it helps our business just run really smoothly. Even though our techniques are very ancient, we rely just as heavily on technology. Spectrum allows my business to go from surviving to thriving.
Keep your business running smoothly with Spectrum Internet, starting at $40 a month. Restrictions apply. Services not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
I mean, the Sabres have been letting this, whatever. The Sabres have been letting their young talent down for a while and not supplementing enough. And now they have a couple of veterans. I don't know. Like, we are at such a, I don't think it's worth yelling about anything that they haven't done yet. That's what I'll say.
Uh-huh.
What's the point to yell about a thing that they haven't done? They have not traded Peterka. And if they trade Peterka and get a really nice return, you might be happy about that.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to think of the guys they've
traded
away. But
if they do trade him for, it doesn't sound like they would do this, but if they did trade him for like a pick and a prospect, then I think you're right to freak out. Because that's ridiculous if they were to do that. But I don't think they're going to.
When's the last time? I don't know, like, it's going to be different for every person, but when they traded Mittelstadt for Byram, what was the general feeling? Good? That's good?
Felt like you got to do that.
Okay. What I'm looking for is, like, imagine them winning the Peterka trade. What's that look like? What does it look like? Doesn't it feel like here's what I'd like. Trade two players for one.
That's what it looks like.
That's how I think you can find a way to you won the trade. Two for one. One for two, but you trade two for one. The best player comes back this way in a trade, where undisputedly that happens in a trade. When's the last time that happened? The Sabres undisputedly got the best player back in a trade. When was it? And don't make it like a pick.
No,
I mean, McLeod for Savoy is almost a little hard to do there. McLeod plays.
Well, I mean that
he plays in the league and Savoy doesn't play in the league. I'm talking the Peterka trade. You are going to get the better player back.
Mm-hmm.
That means you've traded an NHL player in a deal, and the best NHL player comes this way. The last time the Buffalo Sabres did that, where no one would dispute, the best player comes this way, is what trade?
Is it Ryan O'Reilly? That is more than 10 years ago.
Kane, O'Reilly.
Norris, if he's healthy, I think is a better player than Cousins.
That's an if.
I've got to put an if on that.
Right.
That's why that trade, when it's done, is, oh, all right, this has the potential for it. You got the best player in this trade.
You're betting on he's better if he stays healthy.
Well, when's the last time? I mean, even like the Savoy from a cloud trade was, oh, all right, that's a top prospect you've given up for a third line center. He's a good player. He's got he's got to sign too, by the way. The Sabres have not signed him. Well, they will. The idea will be after July 1st. But when's the last time?
Because if it's not O'Reilly,
it's Kane. You send out Tyler Myers in that trade. You get Kane back.
That's before the O'Reilly trade,
right?
So
okay, before that, when is it? I mean, we're saying that Jason Bottrell never made a trade where the best player came this way.
I don't know that he ever made. I mean, he traded for Marco Scandella. Although, no, Marcus Foligno actually has had a nice career in Minnesota. I wouldn't say that. And that's such a minor trade anyway. Who kind of cares about
it? Right. For Kevin Adams, the trades early on were about sending the best player out and getting a package of pieces you hope comes back. That's the O'Reilly trade, although Bottrell made that one.
Right.
That's the O'Reilly trade, the Eichel trade. You know, you get nice pieces back. That's fine. But doesn't it feel like – it's almost like we want the Sabres to have the offseason that we also said the Bills were supposed to have, but the Bills needed less. The Bills, the Bills didn't go out and get their whale. They don't really need that whale. They can go out and just kind of supplement and you know, eat their vegetables and be fine. And maybe some of those players turn into great players. But for the Sabres here, what if I sent you Paterka for – you want to get stupid?
Go ahead.
Ottinger. Something like that,
where the
Sabres say, you know what, enough of this. We're going to get an established best goalie. That's what we're going to do.
That's the one thing they haven't done.
We find our way to an established goalie that rocks. You know, last year we were talking about Hellebuck because he was unhappy.
Sure.
I don't know who that is, but.
No, you picked the right name. I mean, his coach that hates him got fired.
Right, so he's probably not leaving.
He's probably okay.
So that's why I said let's
get stupid. But they do have guys to pay, and he's got a huge contract. And if they were unhappy with both pieces, then maybe it's possible.
It's just I'm looking for – if you're, I don't want you to be mad about the Paterka trade until you get the undisputed best player back in the deal for him. Mike writes in, Byram for Mitz. Byram is clearly a better player. I don't necessarily agree with that at all.
I don't know if I would say – I wouldn't say clearly. I think both have kind of been letdowns since, right? I mean, clearly, Colorado sent him away for not much.
I know Middlestat didn't work in Colorado, but that's, you know, that's a team that is willing to move on from their players.
Like, right.
You want to say Byram's clearly better? All right. He's leaving. He's probably getting traded. And are you going to get the clearly better player on that deal? I don't know. Contracts, all that stuff comes in.
Well, see, like, that's where, like, even if you won that one, how much did you win it by?
Not
– like, because – okay, Middlestat ended up flaming out in Colorado, and what did he get traded for? He got traded for Sean Walk. No, that's a different deal. Like a pick? I'm trying to find it. But like, okay, so what? I'm going to get more for Byram than Colorado got for Middlestat, and if it's the difference of like a second-round pick, do I really care about it?
I don't know. I also think there's plenty of case to be made that you would rather have Middlestat than Byram right now.
So,
like, don't I need more help at center than I need on defense? I mean... Byram plays well when he's with Dahlin. When he's not, there's not really much there. Like, that's not an asset that I think of too much of.
Yeah, the Avalanche got Charlie Coyle, who's like a 40-point guy.
Yeah.
Just like a middle of your lineup
center. Charlie Coyle, who is like 38?
He's 33.
33, okay.
He feels like 38.
The reason he feels like 38 is he's on the all team of, should the Sabres sign this player? No, the timeline's not right. He's a little too old. And here he is.
And that was probably like 7 years ago that we were doing that.
Right.
Right.
Right. We did that a lot.
So, like, they might trade Byram for a guy like that right now.
That wouldn't be fine by me.
32, 33-year-old player that's pretty good is going to play in the middle of your lineup. Like, isn't that what you should probably expect that they would move him for? They're not getting a star in return. As much as I love the idea of this, hey, put them together. Put Byram and Paterka together. I don't know. I don't know what... how many deals you're going to find like that out there. I would be surprised if they're able to land a deal like that. In part because you're right. Like, it is not a trade that they really make, but it is one that they have to. I don't know how much influence Kekalainen really has on this, but I hope he has a lot because that is more the type of deal I feel like he was going for when he was in Columbus. And if there's a guy in that room that is making Adams just feel a little bit more comfortable about, yeah, okay, I'm going to give up the farm for one guy, then maybe I should treat this as a little bit of a different situation just with having that guy in the room. I mean, what are you hiring a senior advisor for? Isn't isn't it stuff like that?
Mm-hmm.
Let making him feel more comfortable about ideas that you should, hey, you should pull the trigger on this. It's a big swing. It's a big move. You're taking a risk. You could get some heat, but go do it.
Thanks, Ron, for the phone call. I guess my only advice would be there's plenty of time to get mad about this trade if it happens. I just don't think the time is before it happens, when it might not even happen.
Right, it might not.
803-0550. Is there a goalie out there? Would they even do it?
I was just looking at goalie depth charts in the league.
Or is it UPL makes five and Levi we can't block and we're just going to ride with them again? Which, you know, last season that was a gamble. And what'd they do? They turned to James Reimer in big moments a couple times. Like,
yeah.
You know.
Well, how are we going to feel if they acquire a goaltender for Paterka, say? That's not like a star. He's not Hellebuck. He's not Ottinger. He's like a guy who's pretty good. And maybe you feel more confident in that than Luukkonen, but you're not like sure that the guy is, because they're not getting Ottinger or Hellebuck or somebody that's going to be a lock solid number one. Like, I don't think those guys come available.
Oh, and who should they get? Jake Allen, free agency?
Yeah, Jake Allen's a name I thought about a lot this offseason. Just as you say that, Joe, I'm thinking, like, there's not a lot of those guys in the league, period.
Yeah.
Like, it's pretty much those elite guys and then everybody else. And if you've got one of those everybody else, I don't know how much better off you are getting rid of a Paterka for another replacement-level
right.
guy. I don't think you're improving anything there. You're taking the same amount of risk on a goalie that hasn't proven that they can consistently be a number one. I don't think that would be if they're
like,
targeting goalie and Paterka deals, it needs to be a legit, like, you're probably packaging Paterka with a pick or a prospect or something to get a top of the line prospect.
Like, how are we gonna feel if they trade Paterka for like Jordan Binnington?
Yeah, I'm not into that. I like Binnington fine, like maybe a little better than UPL.
Boy, I picked the wrong name for you.
But like there's just not a. I don't trust Binnington enough. Swayman?
Swayman was just what I was going to mention because he had a bad year, and he has had like, didn't they have a very contentious contract situation last year?
That was gnarly. Like, and missed some of training camp,
and then he had a horrible year.
Yeah,
like
I could swing myself to that because Swayman has the upper echelon to become that. He's still young enough that I think he could be what they need in terms of.
But aren't they going to just, rather than gamble there, just say, like, Luukkonen will find it?
Yes. I think that there's.
But that is most things with them, isn't it?
Right.
Isn't, like, we'll go round and round talking about potential Paterka trades, and maybe he'll get Dell and Byram and, like, all the free agents. This is a deep free agency pool. And what is most likely with them most times? It's they'll do the status quo.
Yeah. I can't see them finding their way to something that they feel that much better about than UPL and Levi, that they would make a move and sacrifice another piece to do it.
By the
way,
Swayman has 7 years left at $8.25 million. He has no trade protection until July 1st.
Well, there is no chance they're picking up a contract of $56 million on a goalie.
I think that's probably right too.
No chance.
I mean, isn't that the money they would have earmarked for Paterka?
No, well, no.
No?
No. $56 million on a goalie. And they don't we think they signed Luukkonen because it's cost certainty at 25?
Well, they'll send
five for five.
What if I'm sending Luukkonen back?
I just don't think they're going to.
Cuz then you're equaling the money somewhat. Like, you're cutting it in half basically.
Yeah. There's also the Samuelson buyout conversation.
Did I see something about that
over
the weekend?
Yeah, you did.
That they're looking at that and also a trade. I'm just liking that they're even looking at the buyout option because, to me, sure, if you could trade him, I'd take whatever you can get. But buying him out is so cheap that is, to me, far more beneficial than having him play another game for this team. If we do our, you know, played his last game for the Buffalo Sabres draft, I feel like Samuelson went up the board this weekend.
803-0550 to join us. Sabres off season, you know, it is upon us, and the draft is Friday. So get excited. Jeremy and Joe, you can give us a ring, 803-0550 here on WGR.
Real businesses like Malibu Apothecary rely on Spectrum to keep them connected.
We're a fragrance company, but we also have a lot of technology that we use. Spectrum is really the backbone of any of the business we do here. Having a reliable, fast internet service that can fit my budget is really great. I traded a 9-to-5 for a 5-to-9. It's a lot of work, but I love it.
Spectrum Business Internet starts at $40 a month when bundled. Learn more at spectrum.com/business. Restrictions apply. Service is not available in all areas.
Sometimes historic events suck. But what shouldn't suck is learning about history. I do that through storytelling. History That Doesn't Suck is a chart-topping history podcast created by me, Professor Greg Jackson. Listen to History That Doesn't Suck on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.